Appreciate the meditations, guys. Dale, I appreciate that one. That was good, encouraging. Yeah, we gotta let the scriptures talk. We're gonna finish Romans 14 today. What? Can you believe that? Probably because I had six weeks of introduction to the whole concept before we actually got into Romans 14 to get going. We're going to pick up in verse 19 and read to the end of the chapter. He says, "So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin." Now, there is a ton in this section of scripture. And so I know I say we're going to finish up today. That's my goal. That's my plan. I got to caveat that thing out a little bit, because you never know. I might not. But my intent is to do that, because I think what Paul's doing here is he's just summarizing. He's bringing out a couple of interesting nuances as he's summarizing, but he's really summarizing the concept here as we get ready to see some other application as we get into chapter 15. So we talked about this verse 19 last week. "So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." That really is the key thing. What we do is that we are concerned about building up. We are concerned about things that make for peace. And in the area of liberty, these just aren't things that are important enough to cause division. They're really not. When actually the opposite goal is what God's looking for. He's not looking for people to divide over liberty. He's looking for us to accept each other in differences in liberty. That's the key. That's the thing. That's the point. To grow with each other so that we can put our love for each other forefront and front and center, so that we have the ability to live with differences in utter unity. It's amazing. See, sometimes people have a tendency to think that that Christians are supposed to agree on everything at all times. That's not the case. What shows the divine love is that we agree on the essentials, the things that are very clear from Scripture that are laid out. And there's a lot of those things. But that in the things where God gives us freedom, we still adhere to one another, even though we have differences. That separates us from everything else in the world, because the world is all about division. So he talks about building up for one another. And then he says in verse 20, "Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food." So this is where we're going to start today. So he says build up, but then he says don't tear down, right? That word for tear down is really interesting. It's used of destroying buildings. You ever seen a building get knocked down? That thing gets knocked down brick by brick. Sometimes a whole lot of bricks at one time, depending on, you know, if you got a big old sledgehammer or a wrecking ball or something like that. But tearing down a building is the opposite of building it up. And here's the point what God's making here. He says, don't tear down the work of God for the sake of food. How does the Bible define the Christian? As a temple. As a living stone. And aren't we being fashioned and formed by the Lord and placed in that temple, brick by brick? So here's the image that God's trying to get across when it comes to liberty. Here's God working, fashioning. And how much effort, my friends, does it take to get somebody into the kingdom of God as that living stone? I've spent my whole adult life doing that. And it is very hard, difficult work. And I have wept over so many people that I have labored, that the Lord has labored, and then they walk away. What God is telling us here is that He is busy working, fashioning these living stones, and He's warning us on one side and imploring us on the other, don't tear it down for the sake of food, for the sake of liberty, things that are not important. Don't throw that liberty into somebody's face who can't handle it and their heart is strengthened to do something that's not of faith and they lose their soul. Why in the world would we want to tear down, fight against what God is building? That's not why we're here. That's not what we're to do. And I don't think anybody in the church that's truly part of the church because they want to be, would ever want to engage in activity that tears down what God's trying to build. But inadvertently, we can find ourselves doing that if we're not handling these things correctly. Let's not tear down the building that God is trying to build for something that is not important. And then he says this: all things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. Notice what he says there. Again, just like he said back there in the early part of chapter 4, verse 14, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks it's unclean, to him it is unclean. He's saying the same thing in a different way. All things are indeed clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. He's moving it in a little bit different direction. He says, if you think it's unclean to you. Now he's saying, if everything's okay, but you use that thing in a way that gives offense, it's evil to you, even though you don't think it is. This is why we have to engage our minds. This is why we have to reason these things out through the scripture, as we heard earlier. Why this is so important. Because we can approve of something in our mind, but if we eat or we engage in it to give offense, and maybe that's not even the purpose of it, but it happens, it's maybe on a side note, it's evil for us. So what Paul is telling us here, guard your liberty. Guard it. Now, I'm going to say something now, and this might seem odd. Some might think it seems wrong. But I'm going to prove to you why I'm saying this in a second. In a lot of cases, the things that we approve of shouldn't be broadcast. Shouldn't be thrown out there for everybody to see. Are you saying we should hide things? Yeah. And I'm going to show you, I think God's telling us to do the exact same thing. But don't you only hide things that you're ashamed of and you think are wrong? No, not at all. Not at all. And I think we'll see as we look at this, why he's saying this. And when I'm meaning hide, I'm meaning not broadcasting. Okay, for example, meat sacrificed to idols. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 10. My Bible just flops open to 1 Corinthians 10 now from Romans 14. Because we've been going there so much. So Paul states in 1 Corinthians 8, if food causes my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again, right? So if he means that he'll never, ever, ever, ever eat meat again in any situation, then we got to explain what he means by this, because here he is about to give instructions on how to eat meat sacrificed to idols.
or eat meat at all. So check this out. Verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Look at what he says here. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake.
He says, I want you to purposely be ignorant. Isn't that what he just said? And he said, for conscience sake. Does that mean your conscience?
Verse 26, for the earth is the Lord and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and wants you to go eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says this meat is sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I being slandered concerning that for which I give thanks?
He's saying, don't ask questions for the sake of the other person, their conscience. Be ignorant. Don't bring it up. Don't create an issue when there isn't one. In a sense, kind of hide the issue. Don't broadcast it. But now if he says, yeah, hey, this meat sacrificed to idols, I can't eat that. If it gets brought up and it's a problem, now you recuse yourself. Can't participate. For their conscience, he's an unbeliever. The same principle, though, would hold for the believer. The same principle. If the believer has a problem with it, if the believer has a problem with eating meat, don't eat meat in front of that person. But now Paul is with Jews for the Passover or for a feast day. And he's in Jerusalem and somebody in Galatia or Corinth has a problem with it. Is he going to say, no, I can't eat meat because some Gentile in Corinth has an issue with it and offend the Jews there? No, because look at what he says. Verse 32, give no offense either to Jews or Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. See, Paul will eat meat with the Jews so that he doesn't offend them, so that he has an opportunity to save them. My point is, Paul is saying, don't break it up. If you find out about it, deal with it in love. Which goes for the extension, don't broadcast it. Now, back in those days, they didn't have social media. You know, Paul's not going to sit down with the Passover or with an unbeliever in the temple and do a selfie with the steak and be like, man, hashtag best steak ever. Right? And he's not going to broadcast it. I encourage you as Christians, if there are things that you know brethren have problems with, that you approve of, and this is an area of liberty, don't broadcast it. Keep that noise to yourself. There's no reason to be doing that. You're asking for problems. You're asking to offend. You're asking to put a stumbling block possibly in somebody's way. Because even if it's not necessarily a brother who has a problem with it, it very well could be a non-Christian or a new Christian that has issues, sees you doing something, and says, oh, I guess we can do that in Christ. When they don't have the faith. And what we're going to see here in a little bit later, what he means by having faith. It's not some passive thing. We're like, oh, I guess that's okay. That's not faith. We're going to see that in just a second. So I encourage you all, please, guard your liberty. Don't broadcast liberty all over the internet. That's not where it belongs. Because you could inadvertently encourage somebody to do something that violates their faith and could potentially cause problems for that brother or sister.
Verse 21. It is good, and that word for good means noble, excellent, or beautiful. It is beautiful not to eat meat or drink wine. And a lot of people stop right there. Okay, no drinking wine.
Again, go back to the, I'm probably going to publish it. Go back to the stuff I'm going to be talking, that I've been talking about first hour. I got one more week on it.
Or do anything by which your brother stumbles.
He's saying this at the end. He's not saying it's good not to eat meat or drink wine, period. He's saying it's not good to do anything by which your brother stumbles.
And that word for stumble means to stumble or to strike your foot, to trip somebody up.
Now, in the New American Standard, I don't know if it's like this in the ESV or in other versions, it just stops right there. But other manuscripts add two more words.
And it's usually stated, do anything that causes your brother to stumble, lead into sin, or become sick, or become weak. Now, I thought I'd break these words down. Well, I've done it before, but I'm going to do it again, because this is a good point to do it. The word to lead into sin is scandalizo. It means to cause to stumble or to lead into sin. And then the last word, boy, I wrote my Greek very sloppily. Asthenēo means weak, sick, or without strength.
What he's talking about here, again, is not somebody saying, that offends me, I'm offended. You shouldn't do that because that offends me. That's not what these words mean. It means tripping somebody up to cause them to do the exact same behavior when it's not from faith. That's what these words mean. And I think that's the bigger problem. But we do have, back there in verse 19, which where he says, pursue the things which make for peace. That's why I think you need to keep your opinions to yourself, and if it's a controversial thing. Because someone who doesn't keep their opinions to themselves when they know it's a controversial thing is asking to break the peace. Now, sometimes we're ignorant. I'm ignorant of all kinds of stuff. I learn about things, problems that people have all the time that I didn't even know were a problem. I mean, think about all the things with liberty. Do we have instruments or no instruments? Do we drink caffeine or not? Do you know that there's a whole lot of people that think drinking caffeine's wrong? Veganism, carnivorism. I mean, we've got militants on all sides. I just think if God didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. That's my personal opinion. But there's all kinds of things. Do you have a TV in your house? Do you watch R-rated movies? Do you listen to secular music? See my point? There's people who have issues with lots of things. Maybe we just shouldn't broadcast stuff. But at the same time, you know, we got to have some wisdom there. You know, you don't necessarily want to be afraid to do anything because you might possibly offend somebody in, you know, Indonesia or something like that. Be wise. And there's another aspect of why I think this is stuff that we're supposed to keep to ourselves. Look what he says in verse 22. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. That verse, literally translated, states you, the faith that you have to yourself, keep before God. I'm going to read that again. You, the faith that you have to yourself, keep before God. In other words, it's a private conviction. It's not something that's supposed to be broadcast. So God is telling you, keep it to yourself. Keep it to myself. And so that's why I've got a problem when people ask questions about my liberty, when the point is not to do what Dale was talking about earlier so that we can engage in a substantive conversation about the merits of these types of things, which I'm all for. Come, let us reason together. You guys know me, I'm 1,000% all for that stuff. My problem is when somebody's trying to sneak out my liberty so that they can make me feel guilty for approving the things that I approve, and to try to put me under some sort of law or to put me under their opinion. I got a problem with that. I don't submit to that very well. I have very nice, calm conversations with people about it because it's happened several times in my life. But I think where I'm at now is I'm just going to ask the question, why do you want to know? Not in an aggressive way, just in a, I'm just curious, why do you want to know? What's your view? And if there is militant and I want to find out if you agree or disagree, you're like, well, I don't necessarily think I'm going to talk about that. Because, and I'll bring up the point about liberty, it's designed to be a private personal conviction between me and God. This is not deception and this is not lying. Not everybody has a right to know all the information. There are lots of things I know about a lot of people, quite honestly, that you have no right to know. And there are things that you know about a lot of people that I have no right to know. Those are personal things that belong to you and that person. But some people get really nosy and they want to know that stuff when they don't have a right to have it. Now, if something's dangerous, yep, that needs to come out. But if it's something that's just between them and God and you, that's private. Then he says, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Notice what he says. Notice what he says here. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Again, it's personal. It's between me and the Lord. You guys are seeing that, right? I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. This is personal conviction. And then lastly, in verse 23, look at this. We made it through the chapter. Although I could preach a whole sermon on this one. I could probably preach 2 sermons, 3 sermons on this one. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, that word for doubt means to distinguish, discern, or judge. And what this means is, and this is where we're going to get to the concept of faith. Faith isn't like, well, I guess that's okay, isn't it? No, the person who doubts, in other words, the person who hasn't proactively worked through something in order to approve it. I'm going to say that again. Someone who hasn't proactively worked through something to approve it. Think about salvation. Salvation, if you could list, or if you can boil salvation down to one word, you know what that word would be? Faith. But wait, all the evangelicals say faith alone, through grace alone. Yeah, I know. But they misunderstand what faith is. Belief, repentance, confession, immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. It's all faith. It's all faith. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you just kind of sit back and be like, well, I guess that's the way it is without having worked through it? Or did everybody who comes into Christ have to work through the terms of salvation proactively in order to believe it? So if we have to do that with salvation, we have to do it with other things as well. That's what it means to have faith. Faith is something that we have proactively worked through in order to approve of. That holds true with our liberty. Just because we do something because we never thought about it and we think it's okay is not a faith. We have to work through stuff. Through the scriptures. Now, once you've done that once or twice and you get really familiar with what the scriptures say and you know them and you're handy with them, you can actually work through that pretty quickly in your mind a lot of times. Yeah, this is okay. No problem. Because this falls under liberty. Or, no, this is okay. Because, remember when we, in Romans 13, when God gives us a command, we have implied authority. Appreciate Mark Miller and bringing that stuff out. We have implied authority to get the job done. Okay, this falls under that. So I don't necessarily have to think through this. I've got implied authority to get this done. And I've got a lot of latitude as to how this happens and how this works. So when it comes back down to how we engage in liberty, when we have that personal conviction between us and God, it's based upon something that we have proactively worked through. And happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. I hope, and again, Romans 15 is still going to deal with a lot of this liberty stuff. It's going to deal with the application of it to a certain extent and how this whole accepting each other thing kind of plays out. I hope this has been encouraging for you. It's been exceedingly edifying for me to study this stuff out in great, great, great detail. I've learned a ton of things through this. And hopefully I've been able to pass that on in a way that's understandable. If anybody's got questions on it, I'm happy to discuss it and talk about it. But I think this is one of the huge areas of Christianity that we need to make sure we get right. Not just because of the interpersonal relationships, but because if we really internalize this and we really understand what God is trying to accomplish through the whole process of liberty, we have the ability to learn to love like him. And we're going to talk about that next week. We have the opportunity to learn to love like him, to sacrifice like him, to give up things that we want for the benefit of other people like he did. Where we even potentially remove things that are enjoyable to us, or we remove things that are beneficial sometimes, and we take on things that potentially might harm us for the sake of the love of other people. That's where the Christ-like character really gets built. And chapter 15 really hammers that home. So hopefully this has been encouraging, and we'll pick back up in chapter 15 next week.